Yeah, I've said it before. I'll say it again. All it takes to send a town to the dogs is children, Jews, and Negroes. That's all it takes. I tell you, this country's reached the critical point when a foreign Pied Piper comes to mean more to a town than a Paul Revere. If you're not one of those bleeding heart liberals, come up a little closer. I'll tell you what happened to my town.
Destination Freedom. Station WMAQ presents Destination Freedom, dramatizations of the great democratic traditions of the Negro people, a part of the pageant of history, and of America's own Destination Freedom. Today we tell the story of Albert Merritt of Martinsville, Indiana, in a chapter entitled The Pied Piper versus Paul Revere.
I've said it once, I'll say it again. Watch out for children, Jews, and Negroes. I tried to teach my town this, but the way of a savior is hard. I'm Stuzeben Batty III from Good Plymouth Rockstock. All I tried to do was to keep my town lily white, like a good town ought to be. And then, while I had my back turned, establishing my bank business, the children sneaked in. Oh, I love children as much as you do. But these were careless about their parents. They were from across the tracks. You know the kind I mean. They got so they just overran the place, and juvenile crime was very high.
Hey, boys! What do you say?
You hear those savages? They'd call across the street as if they were miles apart.
Come on over, all you gang! For what, Red? Let's go swimming down in the creek.
What do you say,
gang? I swim in. He's popping today.
I'd long suspected that this was their true origin.
Get on your mark.
Okay.
Get set. Go!
Look out, Mr. Batty.
Look out, Mr. Batty.
Confound you devils. Keep off my foot.
Mr. Batty's got big feet.
They were like a plague of rats. They'd swarm over the streets, mobs of them, dirty, skinny little gutter snipes, fighting and yelling and tearing down the town. The jails couldn't hold them. They'd overrun the place like the rats that overran Hamelin. And I stood there, wishing I knew what tune the Pied Piper played when he took those brats out of Hamelin. I was thinking I'd lead them all to the river. Then I heard him coming. It was a warm morning. But I grew cold all over. When it rains on a town, it pours. The plague of brats wasn't bad enough. Now came the foreign elements. Now I'm not a man who restricts a man because of his race. But Jews, Mexicans, Italians, Catholics, Slavs, and Asiatics, I can't stand. Naturally, my town had kept Negroes out. It's nature's law. My town, be it ever so humble, was still white. And it was up to me to keep it that way. I was right, as usual. Yeah, he was a Negro. I braced myself to handle him. He was old and tall and thin and had gray in his hair. But that innocent air didn't fool me. I could see he was going to say something. He was the weather-talking type.
Mighty nice morning, isn't it, mister? I said, mighty nice morning, isn't it?
It was.
Well, now, still is, as far as I can see. Leastways, the youngsters seem to think so.
Youngsters?
I mean, the children are passed down the road.
Ha! Children! You mean hoodlums or housebreakers?
Well, now, I wouldn't call them that. All they need is
they
somebody...
They need somebody who knows how to get tough with them. That's what they need.
You're mighty burned up about them, mister. If you want my opinion...
Yeah? Just who's asking for your opinion?
I see.
If you saw anything, you'd see that you're in the wrong town.
Oh. What's wrong with it?
It's restricted. I suppose you knew that.
Well, no. As a matter of fact, it's the first time I've been this far north.
Yeah? Where are you from?
Kentucky's my home. Lexington.
This is Indiana. Martinsville. Highway 66 will take you out of it.
Yeah, that's a mighty handy thing to know for anybody's leaving. I'm staying.
You're what?
I'm just looking around for a job. Right now, it's looking at the little town you got here. Wonder what the job situation's like.
Couldn't fool me with that job stuff. He stood squinting in the sun, sizing up the town. Intuition told me to be careful. He was the type that pretended to be humble, but no doubt had a weapon in his pocket. I looked around for Sheriff Landry. Naturally, he was nowhere to be found. But I'd have gotten rid of this colored man myself if it hadn't been for that nosy woman. In a little town, you know, there's always people who never mind their own business. Take Widow Kingsley. She was passing by the bank as we stood there. She heard one word.
Job? Somebody looking for a job?
Now, Mrs. Kingsley...
I thought I heard someone say job.
Well, I did, ma'am.
Well, I want a man who wants a job. Now, if you don't mind long hours and being at the sanitarium...
Mrs. Kingsley...
Oh, thanks for recommending him to me, Mr. Baddick. Now, Mr... what's your name?
Merritt. Albert Merritt.
Well, now, if you'll just come with me, Mr. Merritt...
Mrs. Kingsley, must I tell you that you can't hire a Negro in this town?
And just why not?
Well, it's against the town's best opinion. It's been policy, I tell you, since... Since
when, Mr. Baddy, do you run my business?
Mrs. Kingsley...
Tell me how to pick my socks and buns, but don't tell me how to pick my workers. I thank you, Mr. Baddy. Will you take the job, Mr. Merritt?
Well, seeing as how there's divided opinion...
Yes?
I'll take it.
Oh, I knew you were the sanitarium type. Now, at first you'll be general caretaker, watchman, porter, gardener, and now and then you'll be
Kingsley.
After the janitor. I always said a good
Well, you see how he got into town. I've said before, and I'll say again. Give them a yard, and they'll take a mile. But I didn't neglect my duty. I got a hold of the phone and put in a call to Sheriff Landry. I had to find a legal way of getting rid of him before...
Hello?
Hello. Sheriff Landry?
Yeah?
Stuzevan Baddy III speaking.
Oh, Mr. Baddy, I'm sorry.
Never mind, Landry. Foreign elements have entered the town again.
You mean Jews?
More foreign than that.
Mexicans?
More than that.
Gee, Mr. Baddy, how foreign can he get?
A Negro, Landry. Wake up. Look like the criminal type to me. From Lexington, Kentucky. You check with the sheriff there. See if he's wanted.
But, Mr. Baddy...
His name's Merritt. Albert Merritt. Find out about him by tomorrow.
Yes, Mr. Baddy.
And Landry...
Yes, Mr. Baddy?
Intuition tells me there's going to be trouble over at the sanitarium.
Oh, nobody bothers the sanitarium.
Have I ever been wrong, Landry?
Oh, no, Mr. Baddy.
Then you'll watch the place?
Right, Mr. Baddy.
You see how irresponsible the authorities were? I knew just how hard my job was going to be when Landry came in the next day with his report.
Mr. Baddy, I checked up on this Merritt.
Yeah?
Lexington laughed when I asked about a police record. Says there's nothing.
What else did they say?
Well, they said he was a gardener. Said he goes from town to town.
Ah, from town to town.
Yes, sir. Says he spends most of his time with children. Doesn't have a family of his own. Has a kind of way with youngsters. Always with youngsters.
I see. Fagan.
Who?
You'll see. Landry, I'll say again. There's going to be trouble at the sanitarium. Keep your eyes open.
Right, Mr. Baddy.
And as usual, I was right. Trouble came to the sanitarium that week.
It came through the window. Burglars ransacked the place. The new man didn't give the alarm. Sheriff investigated. Naturally, I had to come over to see that things went right. But I let Landry take charge of the investigation in the Widow Kingsley's office.
Now, Miss Kingsley, you ain't got no idea who did it.
Of course I've got an idea. It was those kids from across the tracks. They got nothing else to do. They may as well be burglars. I've told this town that...
You are sure nobody on your staff had anything to do with this?
Of course I'm sure.
Where is this new man you hired?
Merritt?
Where was he when all this happened?
Now, Merritt knows nothing about this.
May I talk to him a minute?
Well, sure. Merritt? Merritt, will you come in here?
I think if you'll handle him tough, Sheriff, you might get somewhere.
Leave it to me.
Yes, ma'am?
Merritt?
Yes?
What do you know about the burglary?
I don't know what you mean.
Come on, now, don't act dumb. Talk.
But I don't know a thing.
You know why you came to this town in the first place, don't you? For something just like this. Now, come on, talk. Talk or I'll keep you
down. That will do. I'll answer for him. Take your hands down.
All right. But I'll be watching you, Merritt. Another false move.
I tell you, it was some of those kids.
We'll handle kids when we get the kids, Mrs. Kingsley. We're going to be very tough from now on.
So?
Yeah. Tough on vagrants and wild kids. It's the only way to keep out certain people and handle the brats we've got. Right, Sheriff?
Right, Mr. Batty. Shall I escort you home?
Yeah, thank you. It's real red-blooded toughness this town needs to teach those children that they can't get away.
Toughness to teach children? But how can that teach anybody?
Now, don't you worry about that, Merritt. The sheriff and Mr. Batty will handle it. They'll handle everything.
Of course I would handle it. I knew that vagrant Merritt had put the little cramps up to it. I knew I had to get him out to save my town. So I watched him. They always make a slip. Yeah. I watched the way he would accidentally meet his confederates on the street. At first, he just passed by humming his old song and winking at the hoodlums. Then he got bolder. Yeah, he spoke.
Hello there, boys.
Hi there, Doc.
What do you know, Doc?
Oh, what's up?
So, they knew him as Doc. I wondered when he'd get bold enough to split up the loot. And then he started. His salary at the sanitarium was just a few dollars a week. But when he came up to the brats, he acted like he had 1,000.
Say, boy, how'd you like to go to a movie this evening?
A movie? Sure. Are you kidding, Doc? If it ain't opera, I ain't playing. A movie's beneath my dignity, Doc.
Well, besides, the price is way above us. Well, now, I got a few dollars. We'll all go. Beat standing on the corner when the cops are out to club you. How about following me?
Okay, sure. Okay.
All right, then come along. Let's go.
Then they'd troop off behind him and go marching down the street. Oh, he was getting bolder. He had the nerve to come into my bank one day with a sack of the loot in his hand.
Morning, Mr. Batty.
Yeah?
Got about $200 in this here sack. I'd like to deposit it.
$200, you say? Quite a sum to be making over at the sanitarium.
Oh, I pick up odd jobs in there. Tips, you know.
Odd jobs, eh? Well, we'll count it. Just fill out this form.
I've got it all filled out.
I watched him fill it out, and I gave him his bank book. Then he walked out to where his confederates were loafing about the corner.
Say, fellas, got an idea. How's about coming down to the gully this evening? I'd like to have a little man-to-man talk with you.
What about, Doc?
Well, it's about a little plan I've been cooking up. We might do a little fishing while we're at it, too. Huh? How about it?
Sure.
Whatever he said to them always worked like a charm. We tried to head him off. We got tougher on the kids. But every weekend it was the same sight. A mob of ragamuffins trooping behind the old man, heading for the outskirts of town, plotting, planning.
I kept telling that bonehead Landry.
But, Mr. Batty, what can we do? Ain't no evidence on him as yet.
Get the evidence. Get tougher on these hoodlums, and they'll tell you who's been guiding them.
Well, I don't know.
Am I right or wrong, Sheriff?
Right, Mr. Batty.
Of course I was right. I knew what he was planning to do with his disciples. The way they'd march behind him, I knew something big was being planned. Others began to notice it, too. Yeah, even Widow Kingsley came to her senses one day.
Mr. Batty, I just had to come to you.
Yeah?
It's about that new man.
Uh-huh.
It's just the way the kids come around the sanitarium now, sort of waiting for him to get off from work.
Have they?
No, they haven't bothered anything, but it's some of the boys with police records, and I've been wondering...
Yeah, you've been wondering what would an old Negro have in common with a mob of white children, unless it was...
Well, I wouldn't put it that way.
Widow, you're not the only one who's putting it that way. You may as well admit it.
But if I thought...
That's what we all think. Yeah. Now, just be calm. Keep your eyes on him and report everything to me.
Well, I really ought to talk with Sheriff Landry before even thinking about it.
You're perfectly right. But I'll do the talking to the sheriff. You just leave it to me. She left it to me. I got a hold of the sheriff. As usual, he was backwards.
Well, Mr. Batty, I don't think there's nothing to this Merritt fella. You know what some people call him now?
I haven't the slightest idea.
The Pied Piper, on account of the kids always following. You get it, Mr. Batty? Pied Piper.
Sheriff, if he's the Pied Piper, I'm Paul Revere, and it's my duty to wake up this town. Yeah, I've said it once, and I'll say it again. It only takes one man of my caliber in a town to get things started. I woke them up all right. I gave them something to talk about. And pretty soon the town became suspicious of this Pied Piper. Everyone but the sheriff was restless. He came into my office one morning, whistling.
Say, look at this report, Mr. Batty. Look at it.
I'm looking.
It shows the juvenile crime in this town's dropped nearly to nothing. Not even a broken window in a week.
Not in a week?
No, sir. I'm telling you, Mr. Batty, you sure were right. It was getting tough that did it. We cracked many a head.
Yeah, but...
What's the matter, Mr. Batty? Isn't this report good?
Good. Don't you know what it means?
Well, no, I thought it...
Haven't you ever thought about the calm before the storm?
The storm? What storm?
The storm they're preparing for us. This is just the lull. That Merritt and his hoodlums are gathering their forces to strike all at once. Don't you see, Sheriff?
Well, there's nothing much I can do until he gets out of line. Can't arrest a man for planning.
Sheriff, do you want to catch this Piper red-handed?
Yes, sir.
Then double your police force and wait till I give the word.
Right, Mr. Batty.
Of course I was right. And the next day he proved it. Merritt came into the bank. He had a furtive look on his face. Oh, I know the type. Evasive. I watched him walk up to my window.
Nice day, isn't it, Mr. Batty?
It was. Did you want something?
Yes, I think I'd like to draw on my account, if you don't mind.
Just fill out the amount you want on the form.
Oh, I already have it filled out.
But this... Why, this covers your entire account.
Yes, I'm thinking I'm going to need all of it now.
Why? You're planning to leave town?
Not exactly. Just got a big job mapped out. I'll need all my money.
I see. Well, here you are. 365 dollars. Must be a pretty important job, eh?
Biggest I ever tackled. Much obliged to you, Mr. Batty. Yeah, it sure is a nice day outside.
Yeah, sure is. Sure is. his biggest job. Now I knew he was ready to strike. Then he did exactly what I expected him to do. Yeah, he even bought himself a getaway car. I heard him coming down the street. His confederate saw him first.
Hey, you guys, look. I'm coming down the street.
What in the world is that?
Hey, it's Doc.
He's got himself a Cadillac.
Hey, no Cadillac, it's a Packard.
Oh, that ain't no Packard. It's a Dodge.
It ain't not a Dodge, it's a Ford.
Oh,
what's the difference? It's Doc, ain't it? Yeah. Hey, Doc, where'd you get that thing?
Well, this is a new car, boys, and it belongs to nobody but us.
Us? Hey, well, I'm going to ride, Doc.
Sure. Now we're all going for a ride down to the gully to finish up the project. Come on, jump in.
Okay, let's go.
Now, watch it, there. Watch it. That's so heavy. Easy on that door, boys. Hold so much. The road's clear. Now, that's enough. The rest of you'll have to walk. Now, that'll be enough. All right, now. All set?
We're all set. All right, let's go.
Come on, boys. Let's go.
So, this was the night. I'm not one for hasty action. I believe in getting all the facts first. So I followed the contraption down to the gully. It rolled to the outskirts of town and stopped before an old shack near a railroad track. It was twilight, but I could see the gully swarming with brats. All the hoodlums from across the tracks were here. And then I heard this Pied Piper call them together and say...
Boys, this town we got started now. You all know what we plan to do. Let's get it done before the townspeople find out about it. All right, come on. Come on.
I'd seen enough. That shack must have been filled with knives, guns, and ammunition. I got back to town and told the citizens about it. I knew we hadn't gotten tough enough. And some of the boys really wanted to bear down, like Mr. Pilcher.
I bet he's right, folks. Any man who'll go out and organize a bunch of hoodlums against decent, law-abiding citizens don't deserve the legal kind of justice.
I've been wondering what this fella's been up to. It takes a wide-awake man like Mr. Betty to save our lives.
It's all my fault. If I'd only listened to Mr. Betty, this never would have happened.
Oh, now, Miss Kingsley, don't take on like this.
Well,
nothing's lost.
You heard Betty say you're all down in the gully right this minute. Right. You heard that, Sheriff?
Yeah, you heard it.
Yes, I heard it, but I thought we'd sort of talk this thing over.
It's past talking time.
It's time to act, I say.
Now, I propose that we run this Pied Piper out of town once and for all.
Then what are we waiting for? Sheriff.
Yes, Mr. Baddy.
You got your men ready?
Yeah, they're all ready, Mr. Baddy. But...
Yes, speak up, man.
Well, a crowd like this shouldn't be going down to pick up one man.
And just why not?
Well, they might get out of control. Might take the law into their own hands.
Suppose we leave that up to them, eh, Sheriff?
No, but this crowd's in a mood for lynching.
I said, we'll leave that up to them. Am I right, Sheriff?
Right, Mr. Baddy.
Of course I was right. He thanked me when he came to his senses. In fact, the town would probably have a special day set aside for Stuzumant Baddy III, the way they used to have for Stuzumant II and the First.
Mr. Baddy, you going to lead the way?
Of course. Just follow me. I led the way down to the gully. The citizens followed some distance behind, and the sheriff was at my side. I found it the way I'd left it. They were all inside. We told the townspeople to stand back while the sheriff and I crept up to the door.
This the right door?
Yeah. And I don't let a one escape. Push.
Yes.
Hey, what's going on? You got a sheriff.
There they were, the urchins and gutter snipes with their leader. Their mouths were open. They stared at the sheriff's rifle. But this Merritt spoke like he was expecting us.
Well, come in, gentlemen. But you didn't have to tear the door down.
We got a notion to tear your head off. We know what you're up to.
You know? Then put down the gun. You don't need a gun at a boy's social club.
Social club?
Yes. I just bought this old house so the boys around here could sort of have a place of their own. We kept it a secret because we wanted to invite all the grown-ups out when we finished it. There. Look around.
Yeah, I've looked. Nothing here, Mr. Batty. Just a couple of ping-pong tables and sports stuff. The kids scrubbing the floors in the back.
You mean you bought this place for them?
A place of their own. To occupy themselves, to plan and build together. That was what they needed.
Needed? They needed someone to crack their heads in.
That's not what they needed.
Who asked for your opinion?
They asked for my opinion. I gave it. I've watched the way this town handled children since the day I came here. They say it's a tough town. Tough on the foreign-born. Tough on the people in the next town, in the next county, in the next country. All I hear is get tough with this, get tough with that. Talk tough, act tough. Is toughness the only language human beings can hear? Has tenderness become a crime? I see only the guilty and the frightened acting tough. Your tough town never frightened me. The police call me the Pied Piper. Well, if so, I'm the piper who blows the tender notes. And the children hear me and follow me. The town will be tender with the children. They'll be tender with the town. Tell the townspeople to come in and meet the children.
Yeah, that's the way he talked. Tenderness. And the townspeople crept up to the door and listened to him. Then they all started agreeing with him. Now, I've said it once, and I'll say it again. There's none so blind as those who won't see. Right then, they voted this merit the first citizen of Martinsville. Well, I left them with their voting. And his club grows bigger and bigger. Every evening I see him coming down the street humming his song with a band of gutter snipes and ragamuffins following after him.
Like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, a long way from home.
Well, it's always people like me who suffer trying to save others. It was those brats that started it. I wonder what song the Pied Piper of Hamelin sung when he rid that town of children. I wonder.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of the story of Albert Merritt in a chapter entitled The Pied Piper versus Paul Revere. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham and produced under the direction of Homer Heck. The role of Albert Merritt was played by Oscar Brown, and that of Mr. Batty by Jonathan Hall. Others were Geraldine Kaye, Paul Belvedere, Cliff Norton, George Kluge, and Fred Pinker. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and played by Elwin Owen and Bobby Christian. This is Hugh Downs inviting you to be with us again next week when Destination Freedom will present the story of Marian Anderson. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.